Well, if you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, and I would say probably this passage of Scripture gets used a lot during this time of year, because it's a challenge that Paul gives to the Philippians, and he uses a lot of metaphors in his messages. But you know, today I've entitled the message, "I Want to Win." I hate losing. How many of you like to lose? None of us like to lose, and I hate losing. It's just part of who I am, and my makeup being competitive and not wanting to lose and at anything. If there's one person though that I think who won in the Christian race, it must have been the Apostle Paul. He knew what he was doing, and so I think we can learn some lessons from the Apostle Paul and what he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Let's look what the Word of God says. Stand with me as we do read God's Word today. And in honor of His Word, it says in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained or already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Boy, that's a great word for us today. Bruce, would you ask God's blessing on the Word today, please? Yes, God. Amen. You know, you can be seated this morning. I wanted to be fit this year. And when I'm talking about being fit, I want to be physically fit, and there's a long ways to go there. And I want to be spiritually fit. I want to be mentally fit and financially fit as well. That doesn't mean I want to be rich, but I want to use the resources that God's given to me in such a way that will bring glory and honor to Him. And that's the reason why I'm talking about I want to win. I want to be fit in these areas of my life. Paul is talking about exercising our spiritual mind. He is looking at things on earth from God's point of view. And you know, we need to look at things from God's point of view as well, not only our point of view. As a result of him looking at things from God's point of view, he was not upset about the things that was behind him. He was not upset about the things around him or things that was before him. Things did not rob him of his joy. The circumstances and the situations that were around him did not rob him of the joy. I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes in these areas. Does anybody else struggle in these areas to allow the circumstances and the surroundings around us at this present time? Drives me nuts sometimes. I'm just being honest, and sometimes it's discouraging. I'm not trying to be discouraging to you today, but that's just a reality. Sometimes in our own lives, if we're not careful, we allow our circumstances and all those things that are around us to get us down. It robs me of my joy. It robs me of peace. And God's saying, why? Why? What for? What's going on in those circumstances? Now, Paul was talking here not about pressing for his salvation. That is already settled. You know, he was not talking about pressing on so that we can be saved. He's talking about pressing on because we are saved. And so, you know, the athlete that was participated, and this is the analogy that he uses here, is the analogy of an athlete. They had to be a citizen of the country before they could compete in the games. Not just anybody. You know, you couldn't go out and compete for a country unless you're a citizen of that country. Now, they're doing all kinds of things with the Olympics today, and people are competing from other countries that are not natives of that country, and I don't understand all that. But in that day and time, before you could compete, you had to be a citizen of that country. And I want you to know, in the race, if you're in the race, you've got to be a citizen. You've got to be a citizen of the kingdom, a child of God. So, determine that we all want to win and want to be winning Christians in 2009. And fulfill the purposes for which God has saved us and called us. What are the essentials for winning the race and one day receiving a reward that is non-perishable, that will last forever, and is promised? I want you to know, in this race, we are all winning. We are all running, and we can all win. Not like the marathon or the triathlon or the Ironman that I was watching the other day. Only one person won. But folks, if you survived it, you were a winner. If you just survived the Ironman, you're a winner. And I want you to know, in the Christian race, God wants you to do much more than just survive. So, how? What's the game plan? What's going to take place if you want to win? First of all, there has to come a time of dissatisfaction. You've got to have a dissatisfaction. Paul began this passage of Scripture there and says, not that I have already obtained or already perfected. Paul said, I'm not perfect. God used him to write one-third of our New Testament, and he said, I'm not perfect yet. I'm still work in progress. He said, I am not satisfied with where I am in my walk. There's a hymn that used to be sang quite a bit called, I'm Satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is Jesus satisfied with me? And is Jesus satisfied with me? And I want you to think about that as we look at dissatisfaction today. Dissatisfaction. We can't move forward if we're satisfied with the present. If we're satisfied with where we are right now, there is absolutely no way on God's green earth we'll ever move forward if we're satisfied with where we are right now. Folks, there's a lot of room in my own life for growth. Is there room in your life for growth? Is there room in your life so that you can grow and be more like Christ in 2009? I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. I want you to know, I do an evaluation every year myself. Do multiple evaluations in the last few years. But every year, I take some time at the end of the year and do some self-evaluation. And I did that the last 2 days of 2008. I got away. Finally, I was able to get down to John's cabin. Thank you, John, for that. I appreciate it. Sorry I messed up the alarm. But anyway, I just had a good time going down there, putting wood in the wood stove and sitting there watching the deer come up on the porch. And for a deer hunter, that's pretty amazing. And watching the snowfall, but I also sat there and had some critical evaluations of where I was in my own life, where I was in my spiritual walk, and where I needed to improve in. There's plenty of them, and we'll just work on it a few at a time, because I've worked on all of them at one time. It'd be overwhelming. But what? Are you satisfied? Because it's easy to get complacent about where you are. We can't really, and we can't rely on our past accomplishments either. You know, one of my friends sent a link this last week to the North American Mission Board website. And that website and has me on there several times, and my family has the Orchard Church on there. It has the mission team that was at working with Bruce and Judy's church and out of Green Lake. It has some different videos and pictures as they was promoting the history. Now, get this, they're promoting history. I'm history now, folks. I thought, now, wait a second. 2 years ago, I wasn't history, but now I'm history? I found that kind of interesting. And that it was promoting the history of the North American Mission Board. And I'm glad to be part of that history. But I want to tell you what, I cannot live my life based on the fact that I was a spotlight missionary. I can't live my life based on the accomplishments of the North American Mission Board and what took place during those years that I served as one of their missionaries. You see, those days are past. Those days are over with. Now I'm pastor of the Orchard. And so this is my new present. This is my new present right now of where I am. And so I can't hang on to the past accomplishments. And by the way, we had fun at our evangelistic deer hunt this year. Y'all want to go hunting with me? Don't you complain about where you hunt at next time. That's Tommy. Tommy's from Chicago, and we don't hold that against him. But anyway, you know, our evangelistic deer hunt was fun this year. We had a good time. You can take Tommy off there anytime. Thank you. And you can tell him I said that next time you see him too. But this guy is a riot. I mean, he's just one of those guys that he's hilarious and fun to be around. We had a good time. But the greatest thing, and I want you to know, I had deer that was, I missed. And I had deer that I may have been able to shoot other than that. But I had more of them that I just sit there and watched and enjoyed it because for whatever reason, just sitting there watching and enjoying God's presence and God's great outdoors. But I want you to know the greatest thing for that hunt for me took place underneath my tree out in the yard. It was when I had the privilege of leading a person to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the highlight. That's why that we did the evangelistic deer hunt. But I want to tell you what, we don't need to hold on to that. Say, wow, look what happened there. Those are great things. Folks, this last year, right in the end of December, I want you to know the Orchard Church is doing some good things. Does it ever feel like we're not doing anything? Does anybody ever feel that way? I want you to know that right before Christmas time, as we closed out the year, part of our missions that we do as a church is we set aside money for local partners, and it was not distributed last year. This year, right there at before Christmas time, and it's not used necessarily for Christmas, it's used for other things, that we give $1,000. Well, if you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, and I would say probably that this passage of Scripture gets used a lot during this time of year because it's a challenge that Paul gives to the Philippians. And see, he uses a lot of metaphors in his messages. But, you know, today I've entitled the message, I Want to Win. I hate losing. How many of you like to lose? None of us like to lose, and I hate losing. It's just part of who I am, and my makeup being competitive and not wanting to lose and at anything. And so, if there's one person, though, that I think who won in the Christian race, it must have been the Apostle Paul. He knew what he was doing, and so I think we can learn some lessons from the Apostle Paul and what he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Let's look what the Word of God says. Stand with me as we do read God's Word today. And in honor of His Word, it says in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12, not that I have already obtained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I for, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Boy, that's a great word for us today. Bruce, would you ask God's blessing on the word today, please? Yes, God. Amen. You know, you can be seated this morning. I wanted to be fit this year. And when I'm talking about being fit, I want to be physically fit, and there's a long ways to go there. And I want to be spiritually fit. I want to be mentally fit and financially fit as well. That doesn't mean I want to be rich, but I want to use the resources that God's given to me in such a way that will bring glory and honor to Him. And that's the reason why I'm talking about I want to win. I want to be fit in these areas of my life. Paul is talking about exercising our spiritual mind. He is looking at things on earth from God's point of view. And you know, we need to look at things from God's point of view as well, not only our point of view. As a result of him looking at things from God's point of view, he was not upset about the things that was behind him. He was not upset about the things around him or things that was before him. Things did not rob him of his joy. The circumstances and the situations that were around him did not rob him of the joy. I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes in these areas. Does anybody else struggle in these areas to allow the circumstances and the surroundings around us at this present time? Drives me nuts sometimes. I'm just being honest, and sometimes it's discouraging. I'm not trying to be discouraging to you today, but that's just a reality. Sometimes in our own lives, if we're not careful, we allow our circumstances and all those things that are around us to get us down. It robs me of my joy. It robs me of peace. And God's saying, why? Why? What for? What's going on in those circumstances? Now, Paul was talking here not about pressing for his salvation. That is already settled. You know, he was not talking about pressing on so that we can be saved. He's talking about pressing on because we are saved. And so, you know, the athlete that was participated, and this is the analogy that he uses here, is the analogy of an athlete. They had to be a citizen of the country before they could compete in the game. Not just anybody, you know, you couldn't go out and compete for a country unless you was a citizen of that country. Now they're doing all kinds of things with the Olympics today, and people are competing from other countries that are not natives of that country, and I don't understand all that. But in that day and time, before you could compete, you had to be a citizen of that country. And I want you to know, in the race, if you're in the race, you've got to be a citizen. You've got to be a citizen of the kingdom, a child of God. So, determined that we all want to win and want to be winning Christians in 2009 and fulfill the purposes for which God has saved us and called us, what are the essentials for winning the race and one day receiving a reward that is non-perishable, that will last forever, and is promised? I want you to know, in this race, we are all winning. We are all running. And we can all win. It's not like the marathon or the triathlon or the Ironman that I was watching the other day. Only one person won. But folks, if you survived it, you were a winner. If you just survive the Iron Man, you're a winner. I want you to know, in the Christian race, God wants you to do much more than just survive. So, how? What's the game plan? What's going to take place if you want to win? First of all, there has to come a time of dissatisfaction. You've got to have a dissatisfaction. Paul began this passage of Scripture there and says, not that I have already obtained or already perfected. Paul said, I'm not perfect. God used him to write one-third of our New Testament, and he said, I'm not perfect yet. I'm still work in progress. He said, I am not satisfied with where I am in my walk. There's a hymn that used to be sung quite a bit called, I'm Satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is Jesus satisfied with me? And is Jesus satisfied with me? And I want you to think about that as we look at dissatisfaction today. Dissatisfaction. We can't move forward if we're satisfied with the present. If we're satisfied with where we are right now, there is absolutely no way on God's green earth we'll ever move forward if we're satisfied with where we are right now. Folks, there's a lot of room in my own life for growth. Is there room in your life for growth? Is there room in your life so that you can grow and be more like Christ in 2009? I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. I want you to know, I do an evaluation every year myself. Do multiple evaluations in the last few years. But every year, I take some time at the end of the year and do some self-evaluation. And I did that the last 2 days of 2008. I got away, finally was able to get down to John's cabin. Thank you, John, for that. I appreciate it. Sorry, I messed up the alarm. But anyway, I just had a good time going down there, putting wood in the wood stove and sitting there watching the deer come up on the porch and for a deer hunter, that's pretty amazing. And watching the snow fall, but I also sat there and had some critical evaluations of where I was in my own life, where I was in my spiritual walk, and where I needed to improve in. And there's plenty of them, and we'll just work on it a few at a time, because I've worked on all of them at one time, it'd be overwhelming. But what, are you satisfied? Because it's easy to get complacent about where you are. We can't really, and we can't rely on our past accomplishments either. You know, one of my friends sent a link this last week to the North American Mission Board website, and that website and has me on there several times, and my family has the Orchard Church on there, has the mission team that was at working with Bruce and Judy's church and out of Green Lake. It has some different videos and pictures as they was promoting the history. Now get this, they're promoting history. I'm history now, folks. I thought, now, wait a second. 2 years ago, I wasn't history, but now I'm history? I found that kind of interesting. And that it was promoting the history of the North American Mission Board. And I'm glad to be part of that history. But I want to tell you what, I cannot live my life based on the fact that I was a spotlight missionary. I can't live my life based on the accomplishments of the North American Mission Board and what took place during those years that I served as one of their missionaries. You see, those days are past. Those days are over with. Now I'm pastor of the Orchard. And so this is my new present. This is my new present right now of where I am. And so I can't hang on to the past accomplishments. And by the way, we had fun at our evangelistic deer hunt this year. Y'all want to go hunting with me? Don't you complain about where you hunt at next time. That's Tommy. Tommy's from Chicago, and we don't hold that against him. But anyway, you know, our evangelistic deer hunt was fun this year. We had a good time. You can take Tommy off there anytime. Thank you. And you can tell him I said that next time you see him too. But this guy is a riot. I mean, he's just one of those guys that he's hilarious and fun to be around. We had a good time. But the greatest thing, and I want you to know, I had deer there was I missed. And I had deer that I, if I hadn't missed, I may have been able to shoot other than that. But I had more of them that I just sat there and watched and enjoyed it because for whatever reason, just sitting there watching and enjoying God's presence and God's great outdoors. But I want you to know the greatest thing for that hunt for me took place underneath my tree out in the yard. It was when I had the privilege of leading a person to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the highlight. That's why that we did the evangelistic deer hunt. But I want to tell you what, we don't need to hold on to that. Say, wow, look what happened there. Those are great things. Folks, this last year, right in the end of December, I want you to know the Orchard Church is doing some good things. Does it ever feel like we're not doing anything? Does anybody ever feel that way? I want you to know that right before Christmas time, as we closed out the year, part of our missions that we do as a church is we set aside money for local partners, and it was not distributed last year. This year, right there at before Christmas time, and it's not used necessarily for Christmas, it's used for other things, that we give $1,000 to the Salvation Army, $2,775 and some cents to both Love, Inc. and Bethany. And folks, that's the Orchard. That's you. That's your money that God has used. And folks, those are some good things. Can we get an amen on that one? Those are some good things. I want you to know, it's amazing how many people call our office wanting help. And then we can refer them on to Love, Inc. And so they can get the help there. Or Salvation Army. Those are good organizations. Those are our partners. And we're going to have mission months coming up. And we're going to partner with those partners and others as well coming up in March. It was a great thing, but folks, we can't hold on to, wow, we gave that money last year, because this is the new year. Folks, it's great right now, today, out in the Wilderness Crossing, Jared and the work that he had in Leelanau is meeting today for the first time in Wilderness Crossings in one of their rooms there, one of the church plants. It's good. To see what God's up to and carrying on the vision and 10-20 vision, but also the plant that we have going on out at Bel Air right now with Corey and the group from out in Bel Air working. That's great, but we can't hold on to those past accomplishments. Those are good to look at, and those are good to reflect on when we think about what God is up to. Also, beginning this year with feeding the people at the fire station and serving those who serve us on the Cherry Festival week. We had a lot of you participate in that and had a great time. And one of the things that really gripped me was the fireman said, nobody's ever done this for us before. Well, God has put it on our heart, and God's using Jane to organize that. We're going to be feeding the people who serve us every other month this year. Every other month this year. And that's looking forward to what we're going to be doing in serving in our area. But we can't hold on to just all the things we've done in the past. All the cookies that you made. I didn't have to eat them all. We gave them out. We gave them out to all the service personnel in our area. And by the way, I want you to know, I talked to one of the people from the Coast Guard last night, and they said they were good. And so that's always, I find out that our cookies are good. I kind of knew that already. But we can't hold on to what's taken place in our past. We've got to do that comparison. And when we're doing our comparison, we don't need to think too highly of ourselves. You know, sometimes we can compare and maybe be up. Nor do we need to think too lowly of ourselves. We need to have just an honest, honest comparison. We have to compare ourselves to ourselves. And what God wants us to do. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why God's placed you here? If you know your purpose, how well are you accomplishing that purpose? And if you don't know your purpose, let's work on that. Let's work on why God placed you here. God placed us in the Orchard Church to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. to fulfill the great commission and the great commandment. And we need to compare ourselves not to what the church down the road's doing, not to what East Bay Calvary's doing, not to what Bay Point's doing, not to what the church over here is doing, but we need to evaluate ourselves and what God has called us to do and how well are we doing it. Dissatisfied with where we are. Dissatisfied with where we are. Then we need to have a devotion. Paul said, you know, I've not made it yet, but one thing I do, I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Devotion. You see, there's dissatisfaction and then there's devotion. One thing. And that's pretty putting it pretty narrow, isn't it? One thing. One thing I do, Paul said. This one thing. What is the one thing that God has called us to do as a church and to be devoted to that one thing? Well, I believe that God has called us, the one thing that God wants us to do is grow healthy believers. And folks, I believe this is a process. When we grow healthy believers, it may be a little while, but it will eventually rub off. It will eventually make an impact on those that are around us. You've got to lay the foundation work. And then once the foundation work is laid, then you can begin to build upon that foundation. Growing healthy believers is what the orchard is all about. And if you look at our G's, to be able to glorify and gather. That's what we do when we gather here to worship. We come together to worship Him. Right? Uh-oh. Do we come together to worship? And to glorify Him when we're gathered together. Seriously, folks, I want this place and to be a place where people can come and worship Him. The word that I got as I was reading recently that God really spoke to my heart about in a book was talking about, and this come from an atheist. This coming from an atheist, he said, if you Christians really believe what you say that you believe, you ought to worship Him with abandon. That means you ought to set everything else aside and say, I just want to worship You, Jesus, for who You are. I just want to love You and I want to serve You and I want to devote my life to You because You gave Your life for me. Because You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Because You died on a cross. Because You forgave me of my sins. And because You are here now, I want to serve You. I abandon myself in worship. That means if God wants us in our praise and worship as we sing, if God wants you to stand up and to raise your hands to the heavens, then stand up and by all means raise your hands to the heavens. And I've been told that Northerners just not as open. Well, I want to say, if I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I believe that there's inside of every one of us a desire to worship God with an abandon. That doesn't mean that everybody has to do that, because that's not the way everybody's geared. Most of the time when God gets on me, and I'm sorry, but I'll weep and I'll cry. But to be able to worship Him with abandon, to be able to worship Him without any reserve, meaning if you want to say, well, glory, then go for it. If you want to say hallelujah during the message, say hallelujah. If you want to say, oh me, go oh me. But to be able to, and by the way, I like people participating with me when I preach. I like people participating and talking with me. Had one boy took it to the extreme one time. But I just like people participating. When you ask rhetorical questions and they answer them, it's time to have a talk. But anyway, it's just, folks, one thing we do. As a church, is grow healthy believers. We do that by worshiping. We do that by when we come and we gather together and glorifying Him. We do that, growing healthy believers, when we do the second part of it, is going. When we're going, God has given us a mission field to ripe into harvest, but we've got to go, get out there. And we grow healthy believers when we're reaching out. When we're reaching. and when we are growing spiritually. And that's discipleship. We want to grow healthy believers. I've struggled a lot of trying to get a handle on what it looks like to grow healthy believers. I have. And folks, I have come to the conclusion that a healthy believer is a believer that is worshiping Jesus Christ. You cannot be a healthy believer and not worship Jesus. It just can't happen. I believe that you're a healthy believer when you are growing spiritually. You're growing inside spiritually. And when you're growing inside spiritually, it's going to come out. And it's going to go. It's going to take your feet to your friends and to your neighbors. Do you realize that 85% of your friends will come to church with you if you invite them? Do that. Let's grow healthy believers here at the Orchard Church. One thing. Following after Christ. Following after Christ. And the passage of Scripture that we have in Psalms. Listen to that, and the group's going to come and sing this song, and you can sing with them today. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Folks, one thing, devotion to Him.
And we invite you to worship with us in this song. It's a wonderful song. What a wonderful image. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. Can we stand?
My soul longs after.
devotion to following after Him. And then if you're going to be following, you need to have direction. You need to know which way you're going. You don't want to take out on a journey and not know the direction in which you're to go. We are accustomed to saying past, present, and future. But we should view time as flowing from the future to the present, and then it's behind us. We should know where we're going to the point that this is where we are moving forward and looking forward. And we view things that way. And one of the classes that I've taught over the years is dealing with future visioning. Tell me, what do you want something to look like 5 years from now? Tell me what you want to look at it now 5 years. Give me the picture that you'd like to see, and then how are we going to drive that thing there? How are we going to put the objectives and things together to get to that point and to get to that place? I've done it with hundreds of churches over the years. I've done it with hundreds of churches over the years. Some of them have listened and followed and done well, and some of them probably wasn't the best advice in the world, maybe. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. We need to know where we are headed and the direction that we're headed. And because if we don't know the direction we're headed, how are we going to know if we ever get there? Paul says, you know, at least a believer should be future-oriented. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things in the past. And reaching for the things that are ahead. Now please keep in mind the Bible terminology here of forgetting. To forget does not mean to fail to remember. Apart from senility and being senile or hypnosis or amnesia, we're going to remember. Right? Unless your brain malfunctions in some way or another, which sometimes that happens. Hello, Fred. Excuse me. But anyway, I was talking to my son here. Forgetting names. I don't know about any of you, but I have amnesia all the time sometimes when dealing with names. But the thing of it is, it does not mean forgetting to the point that we cannot remember. But what it means when it says laying aside those things that are behind us literally means saying, okay, here I am. These things are all behind us, and they don't have a hold on me any longer. They do not have a hold on me anymore. They're in my past. They're back there. Yes, there are things back there. There are some ugly skeletons in my past. Are there some ugly skeletons in your past? But those ugly skeletons in your past should not have a bearing on your present and on your future. They should not have a hold on you. When he's saying forgetting those things that are behind me, it's not to have a mental non-recollection of those things. It is saying those things are not going to hold me back there in my past any longer. And I have had that to happen to me. I've had my past hold me back before. And I don't want that again. Reaching for those things that are ahead. What had God given us? What has God given us in our journey? What has God given us in our journey? Well, God's given you time. We don't know how much time we have. None of us know how much time we have. Last week, last Sunday, I went to the ER Sunday evening. Thank you guys for praying for me. I'm like, can you see my arm? I have no idea what I did. I started out on New Year's Day with a knot on top of my arm, and I don't remember hitting it anywhere. Don't remember doing anything to it. But it hurt like crazy. And it hurt to the point that Sunday, there was no way. I couldn't sleep Friday night or Saturday night, and Sunday it was hurting so bad that I couldn't pick up a glass of tea or my Bible. Now, when you can't pick up tea or Bible, you're in bad shape. It hurt like crazy. I thought my arm was going to fall off. I thought it was going to bust because it was swelled up so much. And I don't remember what happened. I don't remember hitting it on anything. And I know it's part of it's a result of Coumadin. But I got to thinking about blood clot because I didn't remember hitting it on anything. And I was afraid it might be a blood clot. And so Sunday night, drove up here to Munson. And you know, as I was walking into the ER and I was rubbing it. The guy said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He said, you know, you need to make sure there's not a clot there before you rub it. I've been rubbing it all day. But I thought, you know what? If this little goober in here breaks loose, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I know mechanical valves, one of the dangers of them is they have a tendency to throw blood clots. And I knew my cumulative level was high, but I didn't know what level it was at. And I was thinking, you know what? If this clot breaks loose, this might be my last second to see my wife, my little daughter. This might be my last second. Sure makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Did me. We have time. That's a treasure that God's given us. We have our talents. Folks, some of you guys are tremendously talented. You're tremendously talented. So why are you not using your talents? Or are you using your talents? Maybe you are using your talents, but are you using them to the best of your ability? How about your treasures? How about the treasures that God's given you? We don't only live in a global economy today, but folks, we live in an eternal economy. A global economy. Folks, we live in a global economy. There's no doubt about that. You look at our last downturn and what's going on right now, what's happened. I've had a lot of my annuity invested in overseas stocks, and they've went and plummeted just like ours have here in America. We live in a global economy. But I want you to know, we only live in a global economy. We live in an eternal economy. I challenge you this year, right now in the first of this year, to take a list. Take time to write down the things that God has placed into your care, the things that you call yours. Take time just to sit down on a piece of paper. That's what God had me to do when I was down in John's cabin. He said, stop and just write down all the things that I have given you. Now what are you doing with the things that I have given to you? Because really, folks, I want you to know God owns them all anyway. There's not a one of those things that I possess and call my own that I'm going to take with me when I die. There's not a one of them. There's not a one. I want you to know time will trash your treasures. Time will trash your treasures. You may treasure something right now, and one of these days it won't mean much to you anymore. There was one time I had a trophy that was that tall. And man, I tell you, I was proud of that trophy. Right now, it's in parts in my garage. It's in parts. It don't mean much to me anymore. Oh, it's fun to think back about it, but it does not mean much. Time will trash your treasures. And you're not going to get out of here of this life with anything other than what you've already sent ahead in heaven. When we're talking about eternal investing, we're talking about laying your treasures in heaven where there's not going to be a downturn in the economy. In heaven, there's never been one. And so why don't you put your treasures there rather than here? Because we're only going to use the things we have here temporarily. Does that mean we shouldn't have things? No, that doesn't mean we should not have things. But the problem is, so many times the things have us. It's not a problem to have nice things and good things. But the problem is if those things control our lives. Everything we have really belongs to Him. You will lose your treasure someday. What you send ahead, though, will be protected with 10,000% interest. Now, I got to thinking about that. I kind of like that interest rate, don't you? I really do. I like 10,000% interest. And I thought, well, God, why in the world do you give us 10,000% interest on the things that we send to heaven? Now, when you're given to God, by the way, you don't make a check out and send it to God. You give to His kingdom and His kingdom work and to His church and what God's doing. And I've had people say, well, I'm going to hold my tithe. I'm not going to give it to the preacher. You don't give it to the preacher. You give it to Jesus. If you're giving it to the preacher, you're giving it for the wrong reason. I want you to know, when I write out my tithe check and I give my tithe and my offering, I'm giving it to Jesus. And that's my part of my eternal investment. I thought, why do I need 10,000% interest in heaven? I'm not complaining, but why do I need it? And he said, eternity is going to be long, Kenny. Eternity is going to be long. And I tell you what, when I got to thinking about that, I better start sending some more ahead. I know it's going to be sufficient whatever we have. But then there's got to be from direction, the direction of knowing, you know, what God has given us for our journey, the direction that He's headed. He said, I'm pressing to the prize. I'm pressing on. And determination, I press. It's a really neat word. And I press is literally meaning in a picture of a person on a chariot. And most of the chariots didn't have that shroud around like we see today. It was two wheels and a platform. And when they were running around that track, they was every inch and every ounce of energy they had was there trying to get around that track faster than the other chariot riders. Just one little mess up, and they were done for. And it was over with. It was the intensity of pressing. I'm going to press on. I'm not holding back. I am going to press on. Watch the video.
All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. It's going to be good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. Good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop! Keep going!
Too hard!
It's not too hard! You keep going! Come on, Brock! Give me more! Give me more! me more! Keep going! 20 more steps! 20 more! Keep going, Brock! Give me your best! Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! No, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart!
I can't do it!
You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. How many more?
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Pretty powerful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Give me your best. There's times I will ask myself, am I giving God my best? Am I giving Him my best? We press on for a prize. We press on. I want to give God my best. And I want you to know there's times in my life I've been like Brock. I hadn't given my best. And I want you to know there's been times that I've felt defeated in the last few weeks. Have you? As you look around, and I know, and I'm not a rocket scientist. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. There's times that our numbers have not been what they once were. Correct? But I don't want to quit. Do you? That means we're going to have to go out and get our friends. We're going to have to go out and get our neighbors. We're going to have to go get those people around us. Folks, God's got a plan for our church. And I want you to know the devil would love to have us to quit right now. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready to give up. And there's going to be times that I'm going to need you to encourage me. There are going to be times that I hope that I can be an encouragement to you. I believe God wants to do something wonderful. But we've got to keep pressing on. Knowing the direction that God wants us to go, as we go out and as we serve Jesus Christ and let the world around us know that we're here to serve Him. We're going to serve Jesus. And we're going to make Him known. We're going to be founded on the biblical truth. And we're going to pray. And folks, we talked about prayer last year quite a bit. But I believe we need to practice it more. We need to practice it more individually. I do. And corporately as a body of believers as well. I don't want to quit. I want to keep on pressing on. And by the way, we press on as a team. We press on as a team. Leading people to faith in Christ. Helping the flock grow healthy. To find a place to call home. It's not about a building. You know, we come and it gets tiring to come and set up and to tear down each week. But I want you to know it's not about... And I want you to know I've looked at 2 or 3 buildings this last week. This last week, I've looked at some buildings where we can have our office and our worship together in one spot, and that would be great. But folks, it's not about buildings. And I'm looking forward for that to take place. And I'm pressing for that to take place. I really am. But folks, the most important thing is that we focus on the mission that God's given us to grow healthy believers. We grow healthy believers by worshiping, reaching, and teaching. And I want you to know, when we work together as a team, we'll be rewarded individually. I grew up in a small school. We didn't have football. We had basketball and baseball. My dad wouldn't let me play baseball, so I played basketball. And one of my favorite things was to play basketball and to be on the basketball team. And I hated losing. And because of my rebellion and because of some other circumstances, I didn't play my senior year. But the next year, after I was out of high school, one of the place where I hung out at all the time, and really where my address was McLeansboro. They had a good basketball team, and I was friends with most of the guys on the team and played with them and practiced with them. One of the guys was Brian Sloan, Jerry Sloan, the coach of the Utah Jazz, his son. And we'd hang out, and we'd practice, and we'd play basketball, even though I was out of high school then. And I loved going hanging out with him. And I watched that team that year get fourth place in the state. And the next year, I didn't hang out with them near as much, but maybe that was the reason. But next year, they went undefeated, 31-0, and won the state championship. They played as a team. The last game, Brian had averaged scoring about 26, 27 points. I don't remember. Somewhere in that range every game, it was his average. But the last game that he played, he only scored 4 points because they had a couple of guys posting him where he could not get the ball and could not shoot. They double-teamed him. Well, that left one of the Tracy boys open all the time. And he can shoot those all day long. Pew, 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 all day long. And I was there at the assembly hall when they got their medals. They didn't put a medal around the whole team. They put a medal around every one of those individual boys. You're the state champions. Undefeated state champions. And folks, we work together as a team. And we run the race as a team. And God will reward us as a team and individually as well. Let's listen to the song that Barb's going to share with us right now.
We're going to be sharing a song with you right now, but we don't want this to be a performance. We want you to enter into this and worship God with us through this song. And to make it personal, too, and to keep the orchard in your heart and your spirit as we're singing this, and whatever you may be facing that you need to press on and press through with God's power. I'm grateful to have my friend Lindy Evans for helping us out today, too.
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is deep, when the body is weak, stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all. We press on. In Jesus' name, we press on.
strength to press on real life, real quick. It's a new day and a new year. What are you going to do with what God's given you? What are you going to do with what God has given you? I want to win. I hate losing. I want the orchard to win. Are you on the team? We need every person playing their position. We play as a team. Now let's go. Let's go win. There's a lot of people who need to know about the love of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there who need to know that Jesus loves them and He died for their sins. Here's my challenge today. I'm going to invite you, those who are part of the Orchard family of believers today, I invite you to come right now and take a stand with me and say, I'm ready to go. And then those who may not be part of the Orchard family right now, but are going to be or are guests or attending our services, however, I want to say it, I don't want to exclude anybody. Come on, let's go. Come on, take a stand with me right now. I invite you to come, take a stand. Come on right now. Folks, that's all of us. And all of us move out with unity and along the side of each other, encourage each other and help each other and to build each other up. Think about what God could do. He took 12 men and turned a world upside down. And you know, I have thought about this all year. All year. Sometimes we try to do promotions, we try to do everything under the sun, but what we need is the power of God to come down in His fullness and His power. And like He said upon the disciples, and they turned their world upside down. If God did it with them, what can He do with us? Just think about that. Let's pray. Brother Phil, would you close this time in prayer? Amen. The worship team's going to come back and lead us. You can go ahead and back to your seats this morning. And please take some time to, while we're singing here, to fill out the communication card today. Put your prayer request on there. If you're a first-time guest or a multi-time guest or been here since the beginning, we want you to fill out the communication card because we want to keep track and put your prayer request, any decision that you've made today. Please put it on the card.